Live from across America and around the world, it's the Voice of Reason. You're tired of people telling you what the Bible says. Wouldn't you like to know what it means? Lighthouse World Ministries presents A Voice of Reason with your host, John Anderson. Join John and his guest as they will bring the scriptures alive. Come, let us reason together. And now, your host, John Anderson.
Welcome back to The Voice of Reason. I'm John Anderson, your host, hour number three of a four-hour stretch. Great to be with you live on this Sunday evening. My guest on this hour, who was our guest the last hour, when we started dealing with this idea on basically an article and a belief that's out there held by quite a few people of a, quote, 40-year millennium, Revelation 20 being the thousand years that is spoken of, and we call it the millennium, that began with the ministry of Jesus and ended with fall of Jerusalem in AD 70. And Lloyd Dale and I are going through this logically and systematically because the writer of the article states that the initial vindication, resurrection of the martyrs with Christ, this is one of the constituent elements, which you don't find anywhere in Revelation 20, by the way, but notice the expansion of this. The living saints were resurrected, awaiting the consummation of the resurrection. Now, nowhere in Scripture can we find a resurrection taking place after Jesus Christ's resurrection, as Lord has very systematically taken us through that in the last hour. Paul, in Philippians 3, 11 and 12, said he's looking forward to the resurrection, but he hadn't obtained to it. So Paul knew nothing of it, and that he knew no resurrection in 1 Corinthians 15, 24. Christ the first fruits, then no one else being resurrected until what? In his parousia. No idea anywhere that living people were being resurrected. It's not found scripturally. And Lord, I just want to kind of hit on a few of those points, let people know where we are with this, because we're going to continue with this until we walk through it, and it may take quite a while. It's an important issue. What does the Bible teach on this issue, Lloyd? And with that, I'll turn it back over to you.
Well, one thing the Bible doesn't teach, and that is that the millennium was the 40 years from about 30 A.D. to 70 A.D. In fact, the Bible specifically teaches, as we've just pointed out, that it's impossible that there was a millennium taking place then. We've just pointed out from 1 Corinthians 15 that no resurrection of any kind took place between the time of Jesus Christ's resurrection and the parousia, which was the 40 years that they claim is the millennium when the living saints were resurrected. Actually, they were living in resurrection, according to the 40-year millennium view, and they were awaiting a consummational resurrection, whatever in the world that might be. The Bible doesn't teach a consummational resurrection. What the Bible teaches is a resurrection in three parts. And Jesus taught it, John taught it, Paul taught it, and the Bible is very clear on that subject. The resurrection occurs in three parts. The first part being the resurrection of Jesus Christ. The second part being the resurrection in the parousia of Jesus Christ, which took place after 40 years had transpired. It took place after the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 A.D. There were no resurrections between 30 and 70 A.D. other than the resurrection of Jesus Christ. Well, and then he teaches that there's a resurrection of the rest of the dead. So there's your parts. Jesus Christ, those that are Christ in the parousia, and then the rest of the dead. That is everybody that isn't in Jesus Christ at any time in history.
I'm John Anderson. This is The Voice of Reason. We're going to continue on this issue of the thousands of years. When did it begin? When did it end? Right after this, sitting on the other side. A lot more coming.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it, now you can. Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amount. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Where have all the military surplus stores gone? Don't worry, you don't need one. Because everything you need at Military Surplus is at MaineMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, Military.com. One of the last surviving true military surplus stores in the country. Go online now to MaineMilitary.com and discover a source for hard-to-find surplus items at true surplus prices. Surplus gun cleaning kits as low as $2.99. Complete chemical suits as low as $11.99. See our huge selection of gas masks, filters, and accessories. Finish M10 gas masks are $3 for $30, and Swiss filters are $3 for $12. Searching for Strike Anywhere matches? MaineMilitary.com has them, plus a whole new product line of survival and first aid kits and lots more. Get free shipping on orders over $50 only at MaineMilitary.com. That's M-A-I-N-E, Military.com. Or call 877-608-0179, 877-608-0179. MaineMilitary.com, the main name in military supply.
Hi, I'm here talking with Don Wiskin of HeartDrop.com. I understand that you changed the name of your product, Don.
Yes, we did. It's now Extendabite, meaning to extend your life.
Wow, extend your life. Everybody wants to extend their life. How is it made, Don?
Well, Extendabite is made from herbs gathered from many different parts of the world. We chose 7 of the heart and health-related herbs known to improve your health.
Your heart drops have always kept me from feeling sick or run down, Don. Will Extendivite continue to do the same thing for me?
Yes, it will. All we changed was the name. I'm here because at 42, I had a heart attack and the garlic cayenne drops gave me back my life.
We have been talking with Don Wiskin about his exciting new product called Extendivite. To get your Extendivite, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit his website at heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Welcome back to the Voice of Reason, hour number 3 of a 4-hour stretch. It's great to be with you on this Sunday evening. Oh, Dale, I've taken the last hour of this hour and next hour as well in dealing with this idea of a 40-year millennium that is stated in that particular belief system that it began somewhere around 30 and ended 40 years later, AD 70. And we're going through this systematically of the tenets that simply put forth by the position in a particular article that we're going over. Where does it stand biblically? That's like what this program has said for a long time. You're tired of people telling you what the Bible says. Well, here, this individual is stating a position of what the Bible says, but does it really say that? And I think you're saying is if you're following and tracking with it, it does not say what is said to be said. I hope I got that right, Lloyd.
Well, I did.
Anyhow, looking at this systematically, this idea of resurrection brings on immortality. As we stated earlier in 1 Timothy 6:16, Paul said to Timothy that at that point in time when he was writing to that young man, that only Jesus Christ had immortality. So that kind of knocks a hole in the idea of resurrection, because in the resurrection, Jesus answers the Sadducees concerning the resurrection about the woman, wife, in other words, whose husband would she be in the resurrection? And Jesus said unto them, he says, you do err not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God. For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are as the angels of God in heaven. It would seem to me, I find evidence, Paul even instructing people at that point in time says, you know, the time is short. It probably doesn't make sense because of the present distress that you get married at this point in time. But, hey, if you need to, it's okay with me. Go right ahead. I mean, wouldn't that be kind of an interesting area to look at, that even at that day, they could not have been living in the resurrection because they were still marrying and giving in marriage during that 40 years?
Well, absolutely, John. There's another good point, that none of these living saints that could have been living in the resurrection in the first century, because many of them were married, some of them were getting married, some of them wanted to get married, and all of those subjects are addressed within the epistles. So we see that, once again, the 40-year millennial view strikes out on the idea that the living saints in the 40 years were resurrected.
Well,
that's simply not true. They were not resurrected.
Maybe Corinth was exempt from this idea. I don't know, Lloyd, because he plainly states, and obviously I'm being a little facetious here, in 1 Corinthians chapter 7, verse 8, I say, therefore, to the unmarried and widows, it is good for them if they abide even as I. But if they cannot contain, let them marry, for it is better to marry than to burn. Wait a minute. Paul just gave him permission to get married in the millennium.
Yeah, according to the full 40-year millennial position, these living resurrected saints, living in resurrection, are now given by Paul permission to marry, in direct contrast to the teaching of Jesus Christ that in the resurrection there is no marriage or giving in marriage.
But
if anybody is married or being given in marriage, then the simple fact, they're not living in the resurrection.
These people in the resurrection, Jesus says, are as the angels of God in heaven.
Now, the big key, John, there being in heaven.
I don't know of anybody that would be willing to tell me. Well, I don't know. I've heard some mighty strange things in almost 10 years from people, but the idea that they think they're living in heaven like the angels now is almost beyond comprehension.
Well, the ability of the human mind to deceive itself, to be self-delusional, is almost without limit. And so we see much of this self-delusionment within the 40-year millennial viewpoint.
It seems pretty obvious that, and I just wanted to point that out, that in the first century, if that was the millennium, they were still getting married. We got a problem. They weren't resurrected. Or we can believe Jesus. I think I'll believe Jesus and I'll believe Paul. Now, as we kind of move forward on this, here is something, and I'll get you to comment on it, because right in next order, I mean, not in next order of the of this sequential event, but it says here, according to Hebrews chapter 11, verses 39 and 40, the living and the dead would receive their blessing at the same time. Okay, if you go to the scripture and take a look at chapter 11, which anyone out there that reads the Bible at all knows that's the great Hall of Fame faith chapter, but these are the last two verses in the chapter, and here's what they say, Lloyd. And these all having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Verse 40, God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. Okay, I'm kind of scratching my head here because I'm having trouble. Maybe you can help me, Lloyd, to seeing relevance of what he said here, based on these two verses, that the living and the dead would receive their reward at the same time.
Well, position is that the blessings occur at the same time. But Hebrews chapter 11, verse 38, 9, and 40 doesn't say a word about blessings. It specifically delineates the promise. And so in order to understand that, we got to go back through Scripture and find out what the promise is. And Paul clearly tells us that the promise, the blessed hope, all of those things of Israel is the resurrection. So it's talking about resurrection. Now, I suppose you could say that the resurrection was a blessing, but the text doesn't say anything about blessings. And however, it does clearly state that the Old Testament saints, those who are listed in that hall of faith, not dealing with any New Testament saints that have died by that time, and there were a good many because James was dead, John the Baptist was dead. We don't know how many others, but we know that probably a great number of saints had been killed by that time, that the book of Hebrews was written in about 68 AD. So we see that these Old Testament saints are not, they didn't receive the promise. What was the promise? Resurrection. So the Old Testament saints hadn't been resurrected. And the text goes on then in 39 and 40 says that the resurrection of those saints and the resurrection of the first century saints is all going to occur at the same time. And in that process, they're going to be made complete or perfect, as the word in the King James is probably not the best word to use there. Probably the better word is complete, because this is what happens when believers are resurrected or harpazoed, whether they be dead or living, and taken into resurrection into the kingdom together. So that's the making complete there. And so once again, the view strikes out. Hebrews 11, 39, and 40 does not say that they received the blessings at the same time. What it does say is that they received the blessed hope, the great promise of resurrection at the same time. And therefore, the Old Testament saints are resurrected at exactly the same time that the New Testament saints are resurrected and harpazoed. So, once again, it's an impossibility that this is referring to a 40-year period between approximately 30 A.D. and 70 A.D., because, as we pointed out in the last hour, there was no resurrection other than Jesus Christ that took place in the first 40 years there of that century. There was the resurrection of Jesus Christ, and then about 40 years later, the Parousia occurred, and there was the believer's resurrection, which Jesus, by the way, taught. He taught two phases of resurrection there. Of course, he's not teaching about his own resurrection, because Jesus states that the hour is coming, and now is, when there's going to be a resurrection. And then he says, and again, the hour is coming, but it's not now is, and there's going to be the second phase of the resurrection. So see there in John 5, verses 24 through 28, Jesus Christ very clearly teaches the same phases of resurrection that Paul gives us in 1 Corinthians 15, verses 22 and 23, and the same phase that John gives us in Revelation 20, verse 4, down through verse 11 and 12. The resurrection of those that are in Christ in the Parousia, resurrected to reign with Christ, and then 1,000 years later, the resurrection of the rest of the dead.
Okay, so, with that, we'll hang tight because we're coming up to our second break. I'm John Anderson. This is The Voice of Reason. Boy, Dale and I are taking this hour and the next hour, as we did the previous hour, to deal with this idea of a 40-year millennium. Does the Bible really teach it? We'll be back right after this.
Good day. Jim Newcomer from Midas Resources. January 7th, 2011. Gold opened this morning at $1,360.90. A 1 ounce gold coin can be purchased for $1,396.28, $698.14 for a half ounce, or $349.07 for the quarter ounce. That's $1,396.28, $698.14, or $349.07.
Again, the Congressional Budget Office sounds the alarm, warning of Greek-style U.S. debt crises. CBO is drawing a parallel between U.S. economy and the Greek economic meltdown. Debt to GDP climbing to unfamiliar territory and deficits rising to unsupportable levels. Hi, Ted Anderson. The Federal Debt and Risk of Financial Crises document the CBO has published is a must-read for every American. Covering the risks of deficit spending, aging population, and rising interest rates spells economic disaster. Call today at 800-686-2237. I'll send it free. Again, call 800-686-2237. Ask for the CBO document. Call 800-686-2237.
Is it really possible to get out of debt without payment plans or attorneys?
18 years ago, we developed a program that has made thousands debt-free in just 90 days. It's called Zero Debt in 90 Days, and it works for all credit card debt, medical bills, even collection lawsuits.
When I first joined, I was being sued. So I used the program methods, and after filing one piece of paper, the collection lawsuit was dismissed.
With Zero Debt in 90 Days, your success is guaranteed in writing. There is no other program of its kind. Don't be alone when creditors gang up on you. Let our team of experts provide the resources to fight back and stop creditors in only 90 days, guaranteed. Prevent wage garnishments, bank levies, and stop collection calls with our proven program. Call Zero Debt in 90 Days now, 800-477-9256, and ask for free information from an expert who also completed our program. 800-477-9256. Or ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com. 800-477-9256 or ZeroDebtGuaranteed.com.
Warning for all Gulf Coast disaster survivors. Be aware that dangerous gases are in the air you breathe. Benzene, hydrogen sulfide, methylene chloride, and Corexit 9500. Keep your body clean with micro plant powder. For all Gulf Coast residents and all who want to be healthy, HempUSA.org brings you a new formulation of micro plant powder with lactobacillus acidophilus, rebuilding your immune system while detoxing the rest of your body, pulling out positive toxins, heavy metals, viruses, fungus, bacteria, and parasites. Cleans and purifies the blood, lungs, stomach, and colon. Micro plant powder will help eliminate these dangerous chemicals from the body used in the Gulf cleanup. At HempUSA.org, we want you to try our number one selling detox product, micro plant powder. Call and order at 1-908-691-2608. 1-908-691-2608. Or visit us at HempUSA.org today.
Are you tired of police, judges, and bureaucrats using traffic tickets and other regulatory traps to trick you out of your hard-earned money? Are you sick of fraudulent bankers rigging mortgages and using the foreclosure process to steal your home? You need to visit bestfreedomtools.com. Act now to get an amazing free catalog and free DVD packed with vital information to give you the upper hand against these so-called authorities. You will learn how to overcome all traffic fines, how to stop judges in their tracks, and how to effectively combat penalty notices of all kinds without paying a penny. All the information you need to regain your health, wealth, and power is yours at bestfreedomtools.com. To get your free catalog and free DVD, call 800-880-9976. That's 800-880-9976. Or visit bestfreedomtools.com now for your free catalog and free DVD. bestfreedomtools.com, giving you the information you need today.
Welcome back to The Voice of Reason. I'm John Anderson, your host. It's great to be with you on this Sunday evening, 9th of January, 1-9-11. Ready Reserve Foods for almost the last 40 years have been helping people get prepared for the unexpected, in some cases, for the expected. They are their own manufacturer, therefore, no middleman. The savings is passed directly onto you. Now, if you've been thinking about it, if you've been looking around, I watch Glenn Beck. I would listen to him. If you have people like Glenn Beck and Gerald Celente and others saying, you know, it makes sense to get prepared, I happen to believe that is common sense, to do whatever you can. Hey, if it all falls apart, it's not going to matter, folks, but to matter what degree. We don't know what's going to happen. But even food today, if you see the devaluation of the dollar, quote, inflation, food prices are going up dramatically, and they're predicting, in some cases, to really skyrocket. Maybe you see it as I do. I think it's, frankly, one of the smartest investments a person can make for the future, food. ReadyReserveFoods.com. Go check it out. See what they have. See what they're offering. Freeze-dried. That is dehydrated food that will last 15-year shelf life. If you don't need it in that length of time, it probably won't matter. ReadyReserveFoods.com or give them a call. They'll send you a catalog. 800-453-2202. That's 800-453-2202. Lloyd Dale, before we continue in our investigation of this idea of a 40-year millennium, let people know how to get a hold of you, sir.
All right, they can contact me two ways, by telephone or by email. Well, actually, there's four. They can send me a snail mail letter, or they can come out and see me. So there's four ways they can contact me, but the two probably that you're interested in and that most people would probably use would be my telephone number and my email address. My telephone number is 605-374-3291. And my email address is barldranch@sdplains.com. Now, that's all in lowercase letters, barldranch@sdplains.com. That telephone number, once again, is 605-374-3291, and the email address is barldranch@sdplains.com.
All right. As we're getting ready here for our bottom of the hour break, but just to kind of systematically look at this, Lloyd, before we even getting into this issue of the binding of Satan, which is only the very beginning, tip of the iceberg, this is a line of demarcation, that a person should really take a look at. Because the binding of Satan occurs after the destruction of the great whore, Babylon, which is immediately followed by the marriage of Revelation 19. Then we have Revelation 20, and then 21 goes back and elaborates on the marriage that happened in Revelation 19. There's a logic. There's a system there. These events could not transpire in Revelation 20 from my perspective, and it's close to the break here. You got about a minute. It had to happen sequentially and could not happen until after the fall of Jerusalem in AD 70. Your thoughts. Got about a minute, Lord, for the bottom.
Well, actually, I would say that it might be more accurate to say that they happen, that the binding of Satan happened commensurate with the fall of Jerusalem. In other words, there's a little bit of a recapitulatory nature here, and this isn't talking about something brand new. This is summarizing, recapitulating from a different viewpoint, the product of the destruction of Jerusalem.
Folks, think about that for a moment. This binding of Satan, once again, this is not a supernatural being. That's a whole study within itself. It's the binding of the adversary. Critical point. When we come back, we'll take a look at that and a whole lot more. What does Paul have to say about it? We'll be back right after this. Hang tight.
On air, online, and on demand, we are the GCN Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Mark Craighead, founder of Crossbreed Holsters. I designed our top-selling holster, the Super Tuck Deluxe, to solve the problems of being poked, pinched, and gouged while carrying concealed. The Super Tuck Deluxe is the most comfortable, most concealable holster on the market today. We offer a 2-week free trial and a lifetime warranty.
Visit us at crossbreedholsters.com. Don't forget, crossbreedholsters.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson. Have you ever wondered why banks, stockbrokers, investment advisors won't talk about gold IRAs? They've been available since 1986, yet the financial industry won't recognize the value of gold for your retirement. Gold has outperformed paper investments, yet no word about IRAs. If you would like to have gold for your retirement, call 800-686-2237. Don't get left behind by rising inflation and low returns. Call 800-686-2237. Secure your future and call 1-800-686-2237.
Alex told you the government announced recently that the recession is over. It ended on June of 2009. The millions of Americans unable to find work might not agree. Perhaps the recession ended for the bankers and government employees, but for the rest of us, things seem to be getting worse. Gold and silver haven't heard the news either. They've begun their long-expected journey to the moon. In addition to converting your shrinking dollars into gold and silver, you should consider a food savings account from eFoods Direct. They both make fabulous investments. Food is our greatest dependency, and we know it will be more precious than any financial resource. You and your family need food to survive a crisis, and you can't eat paper, stocks, or metals. Alex has been urging you to invest in delicious, easy-fix meals to enjoy now or save for long-term. This will freeze the cost of your food while you can still afford it. Visit eFoodsDirect.com on the Internet or call 800-409-5633. That's eFoodsDirect.com or 800-409-5633.
Question. What would you rather drink? Acidic water, which burns holes in your body and causes loss of bone mass, or alkaline water, which promotes high energy and vibrant health? The answer is clear. And if you're drinking acidic water, you're helping cancer cells and bacteria to grow out of control. AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops combine a unique formula of the most alkaline minerals. Using Plasma pH Drops is the best way to alkalize your water and help you get rid of acid and regain your health and energy. Simply put 10 drops in the water you drink to raise the pH to a healthy alkaline level. Most experts agree that the water you drink should be at a pH level of 8 or higher. Disease organisms like bacteria, viruses, or cancer cannot survive in an alkaline high pH environment. Order your bottle of AlkaVision Plasma pH Drops now by going directly to AlkaVision.com. That's AlkaVision.com. Or by calling 269-409-1776. Again, 269-409-1776.
Welcome back to The Voice of Reason. I'm John Anderson, your host. It's great to be with you on this Sunday evening. Lloyd Dale and I, last hour, this hour, and the next hour, are dealing with this issue of the 40-year millennium. Does the Bible teach a 40-year millennium, or is the Bible, in reality, teaching us something vastly different? Lloyd, we got right up to this issue of, we talked about the binding of Satan earlier a little bit, because, once again, we see this event transpiring, and as you pointed out, the destruction of Babylon, if you will, Judah, the harlot, the whore, of Revelation 17, and then we have this event happening called the Parousia. So this adversary that is being bound after the Parousia, the wedding, Revelation 19. Now, as we look at this, this position of the 40 years would have to have the binding of Satan somewhere, as they point out, early 30s, apparently, because we have him being bound at the beginning of the millennium, and I can't find it in Scripture, Lloyd.
Well, the reason you can't find it, John, is because it's not there. The Scriptures clearly teach that Satan, that is the adversary, which if you're going to take that up now, we need to get back into Revelation chapter 20 and look at verse 2 and then compare it with Revelation chapter 12. Because if you're going to deal with the binding of Satan, you've got to deal with it correctly. You can't just suppose that Satan is a genuine, living, fallen angel, an eternally living, fallen angel. In other words, as our friend Jim Brayshaw in Canada says, Satan, or Christianity's other God. There's just simply no truth to that fiction that has been spawned by the church. To scare people into getting into the church. Jesus never intended to scare people into getting them into the church. Jesus intended to bless people into eternal life through his death and resurrection. And so if we're going to deal with this idea of the binding of Satan, then we have to go back and identify who Satan is. And, of course, we can do that in the chapter that they're looking at, the chapter that deals with the millennium. And here we see that this messenger of destruction to the abyss laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan, and bound him. Okay, so now we see very clearly that four different titles over time have been given to one entity. The first of those being the old serpent. And, of course, that takes us all the way back to Genesis, chapter 3. And the second one being the dragon, which takes us back to the specific statement here in Revelation. And the devil and Satan, of course, takes us back to slanderers and adversaries of the gospel throughout the first century.
This
all stems from the same source.
Yeah, Nebuchadnezzar in Ezekiel 39:2 is called that great dragon, O Pharaoh, king of Egypt, that great dragon, as an example. So it is, in essence, these four words are synonymous. They mean one and the same because Revelation 12:9 does the same thing. They lump these and say they are synonymous. So,
yes, that's true, but Revelation 12 adds another very important piece of information that the 40-year millennial view totally ignores. And here is that important piece of information, because it identifies in verse 9 of chapter 12 exactly the same thing, the dragon, the old serpent, the devil, and Satan. And it identifies this as being a deceiver of the whole world. So this substance, if you please, for lack of a better word right now, deceives the whole world. But then it goes on and says he, once again showing that all four of these actually refer to one first century entity, he was cast out into the land, and his messengers were cast out with him. All right? Now, that's very clearly a parallel to Revelation chapter 20, verse 2. All right, then we see a resurrection statement, the parousia statement, because verse 10 says, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation, that's parousia, and strength, that's resurrection, and the kingdom, that's resurrection, and the power, that's in the resurrection, for the accuser of our brethren is cast down. Well, now, the brethren begin with Jesus Christ and then continues through John the Baptist, the 12 disciple apostles, and the other disciples of the first century, including the apostle Paul, the other James, Barnabas, Silas, a whole host of them, you know, some of who we have names for most of whom we don't have names. And so these brethren are being accused day and night by this entity, this he, a one-point entity. Now, that one-point entity is, of course, very clearly spelled out in the New Testament. And I'm not going to actually go there tonight, John. I guess if you want to, you can. But what I'm going to do is give the Bereans that are listening to us tonight a little assignment. Take your New Testament. Check every word that is accuse, accuser, accusing, accuseth, that type of thing, every derivative of the word accused, and see who it's referring to. It doesn't refer any ways in the New Testament to a fallen angel. So clearly, Satan, the devil, the dragon, that old serpent, is not a fallen angel, as Christianity has falsely taught, and as the 40-year millennium group also falsely teach. This is not the case. The Bible gives us a completely different picture of who this entity is. And this entity is identified 33 times directly and several other times indirectly, implicitly, and explicitly in the New Testament. So take your Bible, you Bereans out there. Do your homework. Search the Scriptures. Search the New Testament. And find out who the New Testament identifies as the old serpent, the dragon, the devil, and Satan, the accusers of the brethren. Those that accused Jesus Christ, those that accused Paul, and so on. So check it out, my friend, and see. But see, that gives us a totally different viewpoint. Now, the 40-year millennium view speculates that Jesus bound this devil early on in his ministry, and of course that comes from the idea that Jesus speaks of a strong man that must be bound. But see, there's a major problem with the view that the strong man is Satan. It just simply isn't the case. And here's why it isn't the case. Because nowhere does John, who twice broaches this subject, nowhere here does John identify the strong man as part of this conglomerate. The strong man in Matthew that Jesus referred to is not Satan. And, of course, then that changes the whole picture on a number of other propositions of the 40-year millennial group, because if their Satan is not the strong man, and if the strong man is not Satan, then they have a major problem because they have no way to explain the binding of Satan, let alone his release. And, of course, they have no way to explain the release of the strong man, because nowhere does Jesus Christ or anyone else in the New Testament broach the subject of the release of the strong man.
And that is an excellent, excellent point, because this Revelation 12:9, Revelation 20, verse 2, these names are synonymous, one and the same. Now, let's take a look at Paul's inability to understand, apparently, that it had happened before him, because he states in Romans 16:20, and that the what? God of peace is about to bruise Satan's head under your feet shortly. It hadn't happened as far as Paul was concerned, and Romans, once again, we're looking somewhere in the mid to late 50s, as far as its writing. Paul knew nothing about it.
Well, but, you know, the 40-year millennialist will counter that argument with the argument, well, the strong man was bound early, and this isn't talking about the binding of Satan. Paul isn't addressing that subject, but what he's addressing is the destruction of Satan. However, the word used there in the Greek text does not imply complete destruction. So it's not the complete destruction of Satan that's going to take place shortly. It is, as you pointed out, the bruising, which, of course, constitutes the binding of Satan. And, of course, it's a direct reference to the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 A.D. That's what's going to happen. That's what Paul's reference point there is. It's the destruction of Jerusalem in 70 A.D. That was done under the Romans. I mean, how much clearer can you get when you look at history? Paul is not writing about some obtuse, mystical nonsense, religious science fiction system, but he's writing about a literal event that's going to take place shortly after he wrote that. And, of course, the thing that history tells us took place was the destruction of Jerusalem, the judgment of God on the Jews, the temple, and the city there in the land of Judea. So there again, you have another major block, roadblock to the 40-year millennium viewpoint. The strong man is not Satan. Therefore, Satan was not bound by Jesus Christ early on in his ministry. Not only that, but according to Revelation 20, it's not Jesus that's binding the strong man. It's somebody else altogether. It's the individual who's given the key to the shaft of the abyss. And we can demonstrate quite clearly from the Revelation text and from history that that person was Vespasian, not Jesus Christ. So we see that they have a major roadblock here in their claim that Satan was bound early on in the years of 33 or 34 A.D., 32, 33 A.D., and then remained bound until shortly before the destruction of Jerusalem. There's just no case there. That's not the case. The strong man was not bound. Jesus just simply used that as a metaphor that, you know, if there was a strong man had a house and you wanted to invade that house, you'd have to bind the strong man. In no way is he saying that he bound Satan at that point in time, as the 40-year millennialists would have us believe. Again, once again, John, they tell us what the Bible says, but they do not actually understand what the Bible means. Going right back to the title introduction to your program. Are you tired of having people tell you what the Bible says? Yeah, I am. I want to look into the Bible and I want to see what the Bible actually states and what it actually means by what it states. And so now we've taken another tenet of the 40-year millennial view away from them because, number one, the strong man is not Satan. Number two, the text does not say that the strong man was bound. In the metaphor, if you wanted to invade a house that was occupied by a strong man, you'd have to bind the strong man. And that's absolutely true. But that's not the case that was happening here. And it doesn't say that this was Satan and that he was bound. That's just simply a construction of 40-year millennial view. And actually, of course, it's not original to them. Because if you go back and study the works of the Reformers, you find out that they taught for many years, many years, actually even centuries, that the strong man was Satan. And so the 40-year millennialists, you only picked up on that idea and carried it forth in Scripture without any relevant truth. So,
well, let's look.
Another item is taken away.
Let's look at another aspect of this, Lloyd, that is used to kind of quote proof text, because it's stated here that Colossians chapter 2, verses 14 and following, or 14 and 15, there is proof, once again, that the binding had already occurred. And I'll read the scripture. It says, Colossians 2:14, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. Having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. That is one of the verses that is used to prove that Satan had been bound early, obviously, in this point in time.
Well, of course, that may be true, but there's nothing in that verse that says Satan was bound. It's not dealing with Satan there, as a matter of fact, contrary to what that view would suggest.
What does it mean?
Well, it's dealing with the civil powers of the day that are destroyed by the ministry of Jesus Christ. The civil and religious powers has nothing to do with the supernatural being identified as Lucifer or Satan or the devil. Simply dealing with religious and civil powers that are wicked in the first century.
To me, it's very ironic, Lord, that people want to have this supernatural war that's going on out there somewhere in the unseen world, this good and evil battle. The Bible knows nothing about it. What the Bible teaches is that the only adversary that God has ever had is his own creation, man. I'm John Anderson. This is the Voice of Reason. We're going to come back, wrap this hour up right after this. See you on the other side.
This special announcement is brought to you by Renaissance Charge.
Have you ever wondered if you could make your car run on 100% electric power for free? It is now possible. How about a simple device that is both a super efficient motor and a free energy generator at the same time? What if this could also be used to restore useless batteries and save you lots of money? Because our customers asked for it, we have organized a Renaissance Charge Conference workshop on July 29th to July 31st at the beautiful Coeur d'Alene Resort in Idaho. Not only will you see these fascinating energizers, but you will be able to build some alongside genius inventor John Bedini. Participate in this truly historic event featuring our cutting-edge alternative energy, Tesla technology. Register early for the best seats and advanced workshop by visiting rcharge.com. That's r-charge.com for details. Or call 208-772-4514. That's 208-772-4514.
Did you know that you can be tracked and traced when you're online? With identity theft and cyber crimes on the rise, your passwords, your identity, and even your physical location can be revealed to complete strangers. Would you like to surf the internet anonymously and not have to worry about these threats? Well, now you can by visiting patriotinternet.com. For about $2 per month, patriotinternet.com will conceal your IP address and your physical location, allowing you to browse the web, send emails, and instant message anonymously. Patriotinternet.com will bypass filters, block sites, and keyword blocking. You can also bypass logging by your router and your ISP. With PatriotInternet.com, there is no software to install and uses 128-bit encryption for your protection. When using wireless hotspots, PatriotInternet.com shields your information from identity thieves and is compatible with Windows, Mac, and Linux. Protect your identity and your freedom with anonymous internet access from PatriotInternet.com. Visit PatriotInternet.com today.
If the cost of your prescriptions are getting out of control, you want to listen carefully to this. RxDrugCard.com is a simple, innovative program designed to give individuals the same purchasing power as large HMOs and insurance companies. As a member of RxDrugCard.com, you'll enjoy savings of up to 80% on all prescription medications at over 52,000 USA pharmacies, including Walmart, Walgreens, and Eckerd's. Don't risk ruining your health by using cheap, counterfeit foreign drugs. This program provides savings on safe, genuine, FDA-approved medications. With low membership fees, unlimited use, no age or income requirements, and coverage for all pre-existing conditions, RxDrugCard.com is an absolute must for anyone who pays for their own prescriptions. Enroll today for as little as $4.50 per month at www.RxDrugCard.com and start saving immediately. RxDrugCard.com is backed by a 30-day money-back guarantee. Visit RxDrugCard.com or call 888-216-2461. That's 888-216-2461.
Welcome back to the Voice of Reason. I'm John Anderson, your host. Lord Dale is my guest on this hour. He was the previous hour and the next hour. We're dealing with this issue that some people are teaching very emphatically that the millennium was actually 40 years. We're going to continue that in just a moment. I told you earlier David Morgan, whom I have on the program periodically. I've known David now for a long, long time. And he's with Silver Investor, silver-investor.com. That's silver-investor.com. You may have seen him recently on the Fox Business Channel or MSNBC. As he pointed out on the program last time he was on, you know, when gold was around $5 an ounce, he wasn't that popular. And all of a sudden, you know, when gold is, silver is $30 an ounce, he sort of become very popular. And David speaks all over the country, different parts of the world. He's teamed up with Midas Resources for a special offer concerning getting his one-year subscription to his newsletter. You can call him, check it out for yourself, get all the information at 877-878-6919. 877-878-6919. Or go to silver-investor.com and get the information there. Lord, before we wrap this hour up, please let people know how to get a hold of you. I'm enjoying our conversation. I hope others are as well, because this is the kind of thing that Christians need. Good meat, filet mignon, if you will, the meat of the word, and get out of so much of the science fiction nonsense that you've been sold on the idea. Lord, let them know how to get a hold of you, sir.
They can contact me by telephone at 605-374-3291 or by email at barldranch@sdplains.com. Now, that's all in lowercase letters, barldranch@sdplains.com. That's sdplains.com. barldranch@sdplains.com. Telephone number, once again, is 605-374-3291.
All right. We only have a couple of minutes here before we wrap this hour up, Lloyd. But as we look at this more and more, logically, systematically, the true constituent elements of the Book of Revelation we can't find in the 30 to, quote, 70 A.D. scenario, they're simply not there. And we've got just about a minute before the break.
Well, I'm going to use that a minute to set up the beginning of the next hour, John. And that's this. One proponent of the 40-year millennial view writes, if the martyrs of Revelation receive thrones, priesthood, and authority, then the living saints should receive those very things at the same time. And this is precisely what we find. So with that, we'll go into the last hour of this discussion.
Folks, I want to take just a minute here before we wrap this hour up. Look, a few of you responded and helped us get on WWCR and WINB. If you believe in what we're doing, if you can see this kind of the teaching, these are some of the things that we're going to be doing this year. I want to bring as much biblical understanding forward as we can. We need your help in order to do that. It's very simple. You can write to us at Lighthouse World Ministries, P.O. Box 1869, Sparta, North Carolina. And the zip is 28675. If you want to use Visa or MasterCard, call us toll-free, 866-669-9600. Any and all help is appreciated. Hang tight. Hour number four coming up right after this.